You are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're joining from. And thank you for listening to this episode of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. I'm your producer and director here at the Yeager Studios, Rob Medford, and together we are bringing you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you're new to the show, I'd like to be the first to thank you for checking us out. We're excited to have you as part of our listenership. If you're here because you've already heard our show and you're a continued listener, we thank you for the ongoing support. It's always greatly appreciated. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to know more about what Yeager CPA Review has to offer, check out our website at YeagerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you might have. The link and telephone number will be in the description of this episode. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no long-term commitment subscription format. But without any further delay, I'm going to pass the microphone on over to your host, Phil Yeager.
Well, thank you, Rob, and it's good to be with everyone today. And the purpose of our podcast is twofold. One, all right, to inform you, give you information, and also to entertain you, all right? We actually joke around occasionally. Our guest today is JJ, the CPA, and he's been on our podcast before, and I wish we could show you what I could see what he looks like today. It's unbelievable. He's wearing this jacket that sort of looks like a peppermint stick, and, all right, this guy will be in GQ, I predict it. And he's a classy guy. He's got a handkerchief, very colorful handkerchief in his pocket, in his sport jacket. And then there's me with a shirt on. That's it. Oh, I'm wearing pants too, but I have a shirt on. Anyway, JJ, how you been since we spoke last time?
Oh, I am doing great. I really enjoy everything Yeager. Megan does a great job, Rob. The social media that you're putting out there. And the reason I bring that up is that I've been a lot more active on social media. I've introduced, because LinkedIn Live let me into their beta program, I've been going live every day since last Thursday and increasing our social media. And Megan and I have been able to collaborate on a few things. And so I love being on the show. And I have to say, out of every CPA review course out there, and I want to even probably say, in the CPA industry, what I appreciate most about you, Phil, and your organization and everybody that's participating in what you're doing is that you really are an advocate, and I'm going to go on to say a protector of the CPA profession. I think part of the difference there, even compared to every other CPA review course, is that you are a CPA, and as we talked about last time, and I learned, you've been in this industry of teaching and helping CPAs become CPAs by passing the exam. Is it around 40 years?
41 years.
Oh, well, 21 times two. These are, you know, you got to remember
maybe
this.
Maybe 42 Bill. Years. I'm not sure. But what's
yeah, 42 year? Years? Right.
What's
but you know what I tell people is if you work tax season, that you've worked 2 years in one. You
that's
know, so
true.
So if we're talking public accounting, 21 years is like 42 years. But you've been doing this for a long time. There's so many companies that have come and gone, and I don't mean they've been fly by night, but with all of the changes that went into play, Phil, the first time I took it, it was when it was five parts, and you had to take it all at once. You had to get above a 50 on at least two
yes.
for any of it to count. And I sat for the exam four times. So check this out, Phil. The first time I took it, I passed two parts, but on one of them, I got a 48. So none of it counted, which was heartbreaking. So then the next time I took it, I passed one of the parts I passed previously, passed a different part, but did get above a 50 on the other two, and then I polished it off. But, you know, my reason for bringing that up, Phil, is that that was massive changes that your organization went through, that you went through when it went to the ability to take one part at a time for it to be computerized, because I think the exam is harder. It's a different approach. But, you know, what's neat is, as you just talked about, one of the things that prevented me from paying for anybody to help me study for the exam is I just couldn't straight up afford it. I came out of school. I already owed. I was making $24,000 a year working at a CPA firm in downtown Dallas. And so I just went to Barnes & Noble and bought one book at a time and put a calendar up on my mirror and regimented myself to study. And I was excited to do it. Probably about 3-4 years earlier, the movie The Firm came out with Tom Cruise.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and so I romanticized becoming a CPA, and I worked at this downtown CPA firm, and I would stay after hours to study in this big tax law library. But I think it definitely was much harder. The friends of mine that could take a course, it was, you know, what sticks in my head is maybe around $1,500, and it just was nothing I could afford. So I know that that's a barrier for some still, or it's even just now a secondary consideration. So I'm excited that you guys have announced a monthly subscription, no long-term commitments, because sometimes, Phil, you know this, CPA candidates, maybe more than anything, need to feel a part of a community that's struggling, so to speak, or that understands the commitment and the drive that's required. I think also CPA candidates need encouragement. And what I think is so unique with you, Phil, is that, and I know that you're genuine with it, but is pick up the phone, call me, I'll talk to you. What can we do? How can we help? And I think that that's huge. When you look on Instagram, for instance, at the candidates, you know, many of them name their Instagram page, you know, my journey, the CPA journey. People really see it that way. And so the other part that I'm saying on this is that to have somebody commit to paying for all four parts might be overwhelming. So I think you just have a good approach that allows people to get in. And I think it's consistent with how you are an advocate of the CPA profession. And we were talking about before the show, some of the things that I feel like, unfortunately, our profession maybe got a little too zealous, a little too proud, and wanted to make it then harder to become a CPA. And I think it's really backfired in so many different ways. And yeah, from my perspective,
hours, we discussed 150 hours is probably a mistake. It was a mistake, no doubt about it. But yeah, we're stuck with it. It'll be hard to overturn that. But yeah, but yes.
Yeah, and I think on the 150 hours, if there was an additional accreditation that you could get, you know, such as they have the fraud examiner, or you got the CFP along with it, I think if I could jump right to what you and I were talking about, and I feel like what I'm wanting to join you in, because I'm a believer in what you're advocating here, which is getting more accounting students to carry the three letters, is that 150 hours is something that I think has put up a barrier. Because here's how I looked at getting my CPA exam done, in my opinion, was it was a 4-year degree. It was a, you know, BBA, and or, you know, I got a bachelor's in accounting. And I looked at it as, well, I don't need to go get a master's, because the time that it would take to get a master's or the additional year of schooling, I'm going to use that to get my CPA exam. And so now it's, well, you got to do the extra, and then you got to pass the exam. And I think especially with millennials, they want things quick. They want to get things over with. They want to get into the workforce. And I think that if we would look at the CPA as a designation in terms of an accomplishment, we talk similar to the legal industry, and then to become licensed, you would then have to possibly meet the other requirements. And maybe a way to save face is to become licensed You have to have the 150 hours. You have to work 2 years underneath a CPA. I mean, when I was in when I was in school, only a few states even required the 2 years. Texas required it. Oklahoma did not. Now Oklahoma does. And I know that we were moving in a direction where the CPA profession was wanting to be inclusive, and so we made changes to the ownership of CPA firms. But I don't know that that's really helped anything. It seems like, okay, well, if we're wanting to be inclusive with ownership, then why don't we want to be inclusive of accounting students becoming CPAs? And so if we did maybe a difference between a designation and a license, I think that'd be great. Because Phil, isn't really, I mean, truly, the only thing that the CPA has a corner on the market of is auditing. I mean, right? I mean, the only thing you really can't do is an audit.
Yeah, a test function where you sign off on an audit. Now, interestingly enough, I think there's a couple of states where you don't have to be a CPA and you can still sign off on a report.
Oh, my gosh. What? That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wisconsin at one time. I don't, you know, okay. I haven't followed up on that in a long time, but
well, maybe it's, I mean, I hope it's to sign off on a treasurer's report to a school board with no more than 300 students. You know, something that's kind of small potatoes, but you know, I feel like with the changes that we're seeing, you had told me that there's been a decline of 50%. Is that 50% of becoming CPA or 50% of reduction candidates?
Decline over the past 10 years, roughly about 50% decline in the people sitting for the CPA exam.
And what is the average now that somebody, either length of time or number of times that they sit? What's the average number of times somebody has to take the exam or the number of years?
The AICPA may have those statistics, but I don't think I can answer that. I really believe, though, that with the one part at a time, and if you put enough time in, the problem is people start studying for the one part and they want to get done like, you know, 3 weeks and they right. go in. But if you take, you know, when we have certain periods we recommend, but if you follow that, you could be a CPA in 11 months. All right.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so now I know you do one part at a time. I mean, I've told candidates that, you know, you might just plan on, you know, each part, you may fail at one time and then you'll pass it the next time. And encouraging that when, this is just what my personal encouragement has been, which is while you're studying for one part, just drip in a little bit every day of the next part, even if it's just 15 minutes, it's just getting the brain going. But Phil, what do you personally recommend, or what's Yeager recommend when you're sitting for one part? Do you just recommend they only focus in on that one part and then go past it and then focus in on the other and not worry about it?
I tell them just to study for that part because there's so much in each part that if they, for example, studying for financial accounting, and they say, all right, I'm going to do regulation next, and they start studying at the same time, I think it causes mass confusion. And if they're really, if they're saying, hey, one part, they're intending that they want you to take one part, you know, study for that, know that well. And now, all right, they have these blueprints that 50% of the people taking the exam don't even know these blueprints exist. Are you familiar with the blueprints?
No.
No. Okay. When we took the exam, the exam was based on a content specification. Remember that? Where they wrote down the areas that they're going to test on. So what they did was, and by the way, they considered that lower level thinking back then. So the questions we have were not what we had to think. In fact, if you memorized a lot of old questions, you could pass the exam. Now,
got it.
But today they said, hey, we want to have critical thinking. And the reason for that is that a lot of the accounting firms, big accounting firms, were coming to the SCPA and saying, you know, I got these people passing the CPA. They come work for us. They don't know anything about accounting. So they actually went to the SCPA back, these large firms, and said, you got to come up with an exam that will give them critical thinking, you know, higher level thinking, where they have to understand the subject and not memorize. And that's why there's more of They want you to interpret data now, all right? And that's where we're going with this profession. We're not going to actually continue to do like bookkeeping work because that can be done by, you know, artificial intelligence.
Right.
But now to analyze the data, you know, like if ratios change, you know, all right, you have to analyze that. That's what they feel you're going to have to do. Analyze data. And that's where the profession is going. And that's where it's going now. Now, blueprints are the actual tasks. They now give you the tasks and they're very specific. I mean, they'll say, for example, in accounting, all right, calculate ending inventory, cost of goods sold under LIFO, FIFO, average cost, perpetual periodic, and prepare the journal entries. They're spelling it out, all right? And 50% of the people don't even know the blueprints exist. They just don't know it. And people say to me, well, what do I study? And the answer is, study the blueprints. Now, we actually wrote our books. We're integrating the blueprints within our books. All right.
Okay.
To my understanding, I don't think there's any other course that's doing that. They just didn't want to rewrite their books. You know, they're going to give the students a copy of the blueprints. All right. Anybody can get that from the AICPA. So the point is this, the courses, all right, are not giving the right information to the students if they don't integrate the blueprints within their books. And they are not doing that. So, you know, if a student fails, they think they did something wrong. But I always tell them, maybe it's because your course didn't talk about the blueprints. And a lot of them say, what's the blueprint?
Wow.
I never heard of this.
Wow.
So, you know, I think they've made it easier. Now, granted, they have these task-based simulations now. We have to really think. And by the way, I do apologize to the people out there if they make you think. All right? That's out of the question. All right? There should be any thinking. No, they want you to think. And that's where it's going. But anyway, let's talk about you, JJ. All right. Now, you are really, last time, if I remember correctly, and by the way, people can't see it, there is an excellent picture of JJ right behind him. Okay. I thought he looked like former President Gerald Ford, but it is really a very good picture. All right.
And thank you.
Obviously, there's not any video here to show the people that, but take my word out there. Very impressive. JJ is not only an accountant in practice, but he mentors other accountants. In fact, JJ, tell us what's happening. You were starting to tell me what's happening this weekend. You're becoming a Holiday Inn Express, right?
This is true.
Who's coming to that Holiday Inn Express this weekend?
Well, yeah, and I appreciate you inquiring on that. You know, one of the neat things with social media, LinkedIn, is being able to collaborate and meet people and make friends, including Megan, that's with your organization, with Yeager. But I really grew to have a good friendship with Justin McCall of CPA, Juan Garcia, who's the CPA marketer, and Jose Zavala, which is ZTX Advisors. And then, of course, I'll circle back, Justin, CPA Enterprises. And then Katie Thomas, CPA. You know, these are all up-and-comers, and most of us are on all different kinds of social mediums. And when we started to collaborate and share ideas, and we're doing, you know, messaging on LinkedIn and then sharing each other's content, the four guys involved that all start with, our names start with J, we created a group called JX4. We have a weekly show. We go live Wednesdays at noon central. We post it on my YouTube channel every Sunday night. We're doing a season finale, which leads into what's coming up this weekend. It's called the Accounting and Social Media Symposium. It's kind of something I came up with last fall. And the purpose of it was to bring together live. Here's what's going to be different about this, Phil. Unlike anything I've seen, is that it's not a Zoom meeting where you have us collectively all on camera with each other. We're all going to be on the same stage, so to speak. No one's going to attend it this year. Maybe next year we'll have some kind of venue where that will be allowed, but we're going to be on live and we're going to be on each other's social media. We'll be streaming all day on LinkedIn Live as well as YouTube, JJ the CPA. But the purpose of this is to have us come together. There's going to be six of us. that were all on social media. I take that back. There'll be five of us. Think of this. You have five people together that Friday evening, August 23rd, and all day Saturday, August 24th, we're going to be in front of the camera, maybe two at a time, all five of us at a time. It'll be fast-paced. We're going to have kind of a different setup hour by hour. We're going to be in kind of the cool part of Oklahoma City. Everybody's staying at my house so that Friday night we can just do constant content and going live. We're going to do our final or season finale of the JX4 live with Katie Thomas. And really the long and short of it is we're going to cover what you and I were even talking about, which is where is the accounting profession going? Where's the CPA profession going? Talking about CPA candidates. This is to attract to those that have anything to do with accounting, whether it's public, private, financial, as it relates to candidates, and talking about then how are we on social media. And you are at the forefront. Jaeger is at the forefront. But really at the end of the day, and this just seems to be perfect timing because I'm even seeing in the last couple of weeks a lot of posts, especially on LinkedIn, that talk about how does the accounting industry get on social media? How do we go about it? How do we come up with our content? And I think that in our profession field, the CPA profession especially, compared to even just the accounting profession, is that we get caught up on making sure, are we giving enough detail, number one? Is somebody going to come back and sue us? Is somebody going to rely on what I'm telling them and I didn't tell them everything that should have gone into the subject matter, or something changes? So in the tax world, it's like, well, if I put something out there and then the law changes, then someone might rely on old information. And so the great thing on social media, you know as well as I do, is if that were the case, well, you go and you delete those posts or you delete that video and then you do an update. We're also seeing that really the ones that are making stride, it's becoming much more raw in terms of what we're putting up there. It's much more real, much more live. I think LinkedIn Live is going to be a game changer. I also think that LinkedIn right now is still in that early phase that we've seen on other social mediums, which is you don't see any advertising. And you're on YouTube and you can't watch more than about 3 minutes before you go to an ad, and another 3 minutes and another ad. And then on Instagram, to me, it seems like every fourth post is a sponsored ad, so to speak. Not that that's a bad thing, but LinkedIn is really increasing its participation, and I think they're doing a great job of keeping people active. I feel like in the business community, it's the only place to turn. Phil, are you guys, I know you're on Instagram, obviously you're on LinkedIn, and you're on Twitter. I'm sure you guys have some presence on YouTube, but is Megan on everything with you all, every social media?
I'm going to, Rob, could you address that?
Yeah, so we do have a fairly active YouTube channel. All of our podcasts can actually also be found on YouTube. And we had been doing weekly posts of like some of the updates to the blueprints and changes to the study material. And we're going to start pushing through to take in more questions from actual CPA candidates to start addressing some of those frequent questions that we get to make that material public knowledge to our channel listeners.
Love it. Love it. And I think that's the key. And, you know, for Facebook, that's probably still a good area where, you know, maybe candidates are. I know for us, you know, our followers on Facebook have really stalled in the last 6 months. And even though we post three times a day, we just don't seem to get much traction there. On Instagram, it's kind of more about the millennials. And I see a lot of candidates, I think, on Instagram. And so we go on there to kind of encourage. But we really, as we move forward, we're focusing our efforts on LinkedIn. But, you know, what's interesting is Amanda and I, who does all of my social media, we were looking at hashtags this morning. And the hashtag CPA exam, I think, has less than 1,000 followers of it. And then when you look at CPA candidate, there's really not much there. And so what's interesting is I feel like the areas that you guys are having to look for the candidates are different than where the CPAs are. But what I like about what you said, and this is why I bring it up, Phil, and you guys have a wonderful presence on LinkedIn regardless, but I really feel like where we can get support for what you were talking about, Phil, which I want to be a part of those efforts and support them and encourage them and be a mouthpiece along with you. And so I'll do some additional videos. But is this concept of making sure that we keep the CPA profession alive? And there are a lot of CPAs, obviously, but a lot of CPAs on LinkedIn that maybe passed the exam, they're off and running in their career, and they're simply not aware potentially of what I would call an epidemic, if that's the right word to use with this, or somewhat of a tragedy when you tell me that there's a decline of 50% in those that are sitting for the exam, which is clearly then a decline of 50%. And probably, you know, in the next 10 years, we're going to see a huge number of CPAs leaving the profession of public, in my opinion, you know, retiring, right? And then 20 years from now, it's going to be a huge epidemic, and then no one's going to probably even really care about the CPA credential. And from my opinion, that's a tragedy. You know, my grandfather, who I mentioned earlier, he was a CPA, had his own practice for over 50 years, and, you know, worked in tax. And the pride that he had in carrying those three letters transferred to me. And that's part of why I had kind of a romantic view of becoming a CPA, and it was exciting to study for it, and why the CPA designation is really just an imprint of who I am. I don't meet really anybody and they don't know I'm a CPA within a couple of minutes. And for me, there's great pride in that. I say this, that is how every CPA is that I come across. Great pride in getting through those additional requirements and becoming a CPA and having those three letters and preserving those three letters. And I think that, Phil, when you talk about gathering up maybe some support, I just wonder if we wouldn't really find a lot of that support in LinkedIn. I don't find a lot of CPAs on Instagram.
I think that's a good idea, bring it up within LinkedIn. And it's sort of, do you remember years ago they wanted to change the CPA to a cognitor? Do you remember that at all?
I don't actually.
Yeah, they wanted the CPA to have sort of a global designation, and they came cognitor. I don't even know what it meant. All right, we thought it was dinosaur at first. So anyway, I actually got together with this gentleman from New York. I think it was Michael Rosenblum. I'm trying to remember. But anyway, we actually had one of the first webcasts. All right. I think it was a webinar. It was a webcast where we had the head of the AICPA, there talking about why they wanted to change the name to a cognitor. And we actually sort of challenged him. I mean, it was really very, very well. And in order to do that, they needed a total membership of the AICPA to vote on that. Well, we did a few webcasts on that. And as a result of our webcast, all right, it was unanimously turned down by the AICPA. And I have to tell you, the AICPA was not happy with us. All right.
Now,
that just happened. And unfortunately, we have to do something about this. All right. And someone's got to start beating the drum. And I'd like to start beating the drum. Also, I've always said, I want to be an advocate for the CPA candidate. And if we don't change this, we're not going to have enough CPA candidates to worry about. We got to stop worrying about it. I understand the purpose is to protect the public interest, all right?
Right.
But someone's got to wake up and say, we have to protect the CPA in such a way that the students want to become CPAs. And, we still have a bad image. I think a lot of people think accountants are boring people. And all we do is number crunching, but that's not the case. All right.
No. Yeah.
They need to send people out to talk to I don't know, high schools. I don't think high school's white, but maybe go into the freshman year of a college accounting class, because I don't think they declare the majors until what, junior year or something. But get on, you know, get into the colleges and talk to them, but have people who are enthusiastic do that. All right. Don't bring in the guy who is got one foot in the grave, who says, "Oh, CPA is very interesting." Okay. And, you know, that will turn them off. You need people like yourself. You know, hey, you're a dynamic guy. You got to picture yourself behind you. And
you know, I tell people, Phil, I tell everybody.
I'm giving you a hard time. I'm just kidding. Yeah, go ahead.
You've never met a CPA quite like me, but you're right. And I love, at the Oklahoma Society of CPAs, I am on the educational board, and so I have opportunity at least once a year to go and talk to at least one. Are you guys still there?
I'm still here.
At least one college at a time. And, you know, I always love it. And when I'm talking with the individuals that are looking to study for the exam, or they're getting ready to graduate, because part of being on the educational foundation is being able to help them decide. And that's the number one thing that I hear is, you know, should I get my CPA? And I'm just kind of flabbergasted that I'm getting responses of, because I don't see the value in it. I mean, that's literally what I hear. So, you know, I bring excitement, I bring enthusiasm, and I think that it gives a different maybe connotation. And I just talk about the value of it. I talk about the three letters. I talk about how that forever puts you in a different position in any meeting that you are in. Because even to this day, people still see, oh, if you're a CPA, you must know that, whether you're talking about real estate, the market, budgeting, saving money, retirement, insurance, and of course, taxes. And when you are in then the business world, what I tell candidates, or I'm telling accounting students, is you're now like the doctor in the medical profession, which means that you're the expert. So when the doctor walks in the room, it doesn't matter who's talking, you're going to have the heaviest voice. You're going to be heard the most. And so that's what I appeal to. And that's because that's one of the things that my grandfather instilled in me, was that you will always have those three letters. He said, it'll be on your tombstone. And he passed away a couple of weeks after I opened my practice in May of 1997. And in fact, on his tombstone, it says Omar Abbott Slater, CPA. So I agree with you. There's the excitement of that. And I think that what I'm also hearing is that I'm already getting a master's. It's almost backfired, Phil. People are saying to me, the students, we're already getting a master's. Why do I need the CPA? And that's a shame. Now, with this board, we give out scholarships. So this is while I'm giving somebody a $500 to $1,000 to a $2,000 scholarship. And we usually give out at least 20 scholarships every year. And I'm typically at least having lunch with all of these individuals, but even the CPA Society giving them the money, they are still questioning whether or not they would want to become a CPA. Meaning we've even kind of lost, I think, the luster of like, oh, wow, the CPA profession is getting behind me. So from my perspective, yes, the excitement and the enthusiasm. And I know that it's John Gravitt, correct? And he is the CPA that no longer practices, but he's now a comedian. And he has presented at the AICPA. He has a podcast. And he highlights, this is his whole podcast still, all of his episodes, I think he's over 150 episodes, is to show the other side of CPAs. So what is it that you do otherwise? And what is it?
John Garrett.
Yes, we had him on. John.
Yeah. So from that perspective, he is showing here is what CPAs do when they're not in the office being a CPA. And, you know, I highlighted a lot of my grandfather when I was on his podcast. So I love what he's doing there. Michelle Cornish is an author who's a former CPA who writes, you know, she has a murder audit, and it's about a CPA and how they're involved in a murder mystery that's related to an audit. So these are great things to bring to the profession. I'm hoping the social media will
Is that going to become a movie also, that book?
Yeah, I'm going to star in it. I'm telling you right now, I need to get the rights to that right now, Murder Audit.
By the way, did you try out for the movie The Accountant? All right. Did Ben Affleck put you out on that part?
Well, it was, you know, Phil, I haven't told anybody, it was actually based on my story. They went a little over top. I never did actually kill anybody, but yeah, they kind of based it loosely on my story. But, you know,
by the way, everyone listening, you heard that here, okay? The Academy movie where Ben Affleck was in there, he was playing JJ. All right.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
JJ made.
He did come and shadow me. Ben didn't come and shadow me. Ben sent his assistant to come shadow me. For a tax season, you know, for a little bit to kind of see what it was all about. And but anyway, I digress just to say that, yes, that's the kind of thing. Great point in bringing that up, Phil. That's the kind of thing that brings it to the forefront is that, you know, here's somebody, and I was so glad they said he was a CPA, not just an accountant. Because as a side note, Phil, I don't know about you, but when people call me an accountant, I really have to correct them. In the sense that I'm a certified public accountant. And I've said this before, but, you know, when I'm in meetings with clients, there must be something fun about answering your cell phone in the front of them in the middle of a meeting, because I'll have clients, they'll answer their phone, and whoever's on the other line, they'll say, well, can I give you a call back? I'm with my accountant. Or can I give you a call back? I'm with your CPA. I think they only answered the phone just to tell the person that they're in a meeting with their accountant. But normally when they get off, if they said that, I said, hey, listen, I'm a CPA. And of course, everybody laughs. But I take great pride in that. And I think that that's the part that it's not about making it easier to become a CPA. Because if you ask me, the CPA exam is already what separates accountants from CPAs. I mean, to get that passed, to then add another year of schooling and then 2 years of working for a CPA, I think is the mistake part. And if you want to be licensed in public accounting after you become a CPA, then it makes sense that you would then work for a CPA. Because you know as well as I do, Phil, again, I'm repeating, what we have a corner on the market is the auditing. So there's no one fresh out of school, most likely, doing audits. It's going to be a firm that's going to get an audit done, or a smaller firm doing reviews, and maybe the mini firms doing compilations, but that's really what the CPAs have to do. My point is that, yeah, it makes sense if somebody's going to be able to do a test function, which is a great way that you put that, Phil, then yeah, make it to where they have to have the experience and apprenticeship, so to speak, and work for the 2 years. But to your point, if you want to go into consulting or IT, but you'd like to carry the three letters, why do you need to work for a CPA from that perspective? So hopefully we can be at the forefront of a movement. And I think if we were to let other CPAs know that our profession is hitting a low, and if you roll it forward, that we need to come together and help protect the profession, because the AICPA represents us. They represent us. And so what the CPAs
they represent us, but they think they're representing the public interest, okay?
Right, and that's a great, you know what, that is excellent. We need to write that down, because it's a great way to show that the AICPA is a great organization. We all know that. I'm a member of it. I love the way that it does protect our profession and what it provides, and obviously good continuing education, et cetera. And I love it how they're advocates and they have lobbyists and they send letters to Congress. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the AICPA, but you know what? I think you've nailed it, that the AICPA is more interested in protecting the public than it is protecting the profession when it comes to becoming a CPA. So yeah, that's a great way to state that, Phil. You know, I think that, you know, part of what we're going to cover in this symposium coming up Friday and Saturday, the Accounting and Social Media Symposium, and if, you know, they're listening to the podcast after August, and you'll be able to go to any of our YouTube channels, Juan or Jose or Katie or Justin or me, or to our social media, because one of the things that we've learned from Juan Garcia, who's the CPA marketer, really advocating the accounting profession to get on social media, is that going back and getting content to re-present it, so to speak, whether it's either just recasting it or taking bits and pieces or a different angle. So you'll continue to see content from what we're shooting, but we are definitely going to make this a great segment in this accounting and social media symposium to help get the word out to CPAs. And in some ways, Phil, in some ways, it maybe even encouraging those that are accountants or CPA butts to maybe get reinterested. Because you know what a CPA butt is? It's, well, I was going to be a CPA butt, or I was planning on becoming a CPA butt. So you got CPA butts.
But let me, by the way, I just want to say very quickly, I know every one of those people that are going to be on that, and they are terrific. They've been guests on our show, and they're very young, aggressive. They can share a lot with you. And I can't say anything but good things about every one of those people. And I just want to say very quickly, how do they find out about this thing? How do they watch it?
Yeah, so I appreciate that. So if you'll go to jjthecpa.com, there is a link that says symposium, and then on that page, you'll have all the information. You'll have the layout. It'll have links where to go. But even if you want to make it simpler than that, absolutely simpler than that, go to my YouTube page, JJ the CPA, and you'll catch it all right there. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. So JJ the CPA, and you can even search that on LinkedIn, because we'll also be LinkedIn Live. That's the easiest way to get into it. Also on the website, if you're wanting additional information or to be kept up on it, you can do a quick sign up where it's just your name and your email that'll allow you to maybe get some updates on it. But bottom line is, tune in even for part of it, or go back and look at any of it, because I think we're going to, I mean, think of five brains like that that have all the different followers, all the different ideas, all the different angles. All of us are in the accounting and CPA profession, but from a different side. The collective that's going to come, you know, together, it's going to be like, you know, we're going to be like the accounting Avengers. I'm Captain America.
I think this is going to your head. By the way, I would actually tune in for the reason of seeing what JJ is going to wear. All right. Will he wear a cape, tights? I don't know. What are you going to wear, JJ?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
But no, seriously,
I think I'm going to wear a different jacket every hour, though.
JJ, I want to thank you again. And I didn't cover anything close to what I wanted to cover, because we always have so much to speak about, talk about. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, watch that symposium, listen to it. And once again, go to the YouTube. And this gentleman's name is JJ. That's Joseph, although his name is Joshua, right? It's Joshua, all right? The CPA. JJ the CPA, all right, I would say catch this symposium. It sounds very interesting, and you'll learn something from it. What do you got to lose? Doesn't cost you anything, right? It's free.
That's right. Yeah, no gimmicks to it, no sales, not leading to a funnel to then buy something. There's no video series to buy. It's just putting out good information. And Phil, thank you for having me on. This is my second time on the show. Thanks for everything you're doing for the profession, for candidates. And I really, really, truly feel like you are completely different than everybody else. So anybody listening to this, you really need to check out and use Jaeger, because if you want to become a CPA, Jaeger, Phil Jaeger, Megan, Jaeger Organization, Rob, they absolutely, like no one I've ever seen in the aspect of helping candidates become CPAs. These are the number one, and I think here's the number one reason you guys care.
Well, thank you. And also, let me state this, JJ is not a compensated endorser, all right? He's, no, but I appreciate everything you say. I mean, it means a lot to me, and it's always good to have you on, JJ. I really, I don't think I'll be out in Oklahoma anytime soon to meet you, but perhaps I'll.
Well, now you're up in New York, right?
No, I'm in Maryland. I live in Maryland.
Oh, you're in Maryland.
Near Washington, okay. D.C.
Well, we're going to be around in the area in October, November, and December. Maryland is close to New York, close to D.C., close to a bunch of places. One of the things that I'm doing is I'm launching a podcast. The only thing I'm doing different with it, Phil, is I'm only going to interview those that I can sit with live. And so that'll be my angle. So that'll be the reason that I need to seek you out and find you so that we can sit together, have a cup of coffee, record it, and throw it up on the JJ the CPA Show podcast.
That sounds great. God, we would have a lot of fun, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. It probably need to be. It's going to probably be like 4 episodes.
Oh, at least. This could be, Phil Yeager, JJ, the super CPAs. All right. If NBC's out there, CBS or ABC, or any of the HBOs, we are available to present that idea to the networks. And I'll tell you, a show called Super CPA, I think it'll draw a tremendous audience. At least.
I love it. You know, we may just, let's start with Netflix, Phil. How about we start with Netflix, maybe Hulu?
I think that's an excellent idea.
Hey, don't even joke with me because we're doing this.
All right. Yeah. Hey, I have no problem with this. You know, I really have no problem. All right. JJ, take care. Enjoy the rest
All right, thank
of the summer
you.
There in Oklahoma. Give my best to everyone you mentioned. And
thank you.
Once again, please listen to that. You'll gain a lot of knowledge. So I want to thank everyone again for listening to the Yeager CPA Review podcast, which is called, here we go, CPA Review and More. We want to remember, I'm here to entertain you and to inform you. And I want to be your advocate. And if you have any problems, please contact me and I will get back to you. I always enjoy talking to CPA candidates, even if they're not our students. So, Rob, I'm going to let you take it away. And thanks again. Take care, JJ.
Thank you.
Once again, I'd like to thank you for being the best part of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear on the show, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show to share your story, we want to hear from you. Send me an email to the studio at podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. If you're enjoying the content that we're providing, we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd submit a review to the Apple iTunes podcast app to let us know how we're doing. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to find out more about the CPA exam and what Yeager has to offer, check out YeagerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you may have. The link and the phone number will be in the description of this podcast. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no-commitment subscription format. Check it out today. Once again, my name's Rob Medford. I'm your executive producer and director here at the Yeager Studios. And until next time, take care and be audit you can be.